John chapter 2, beginning in verse number 13, the Bible says, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou these things, thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the wonderful teachings of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Lord, help us, we pray, to be conformed to the image of Christ as, Lord, we allow the Spirit of God to teach us your word tonight. Lord, help us, we pray, to allow you to do your good will and pleasure in our hearts and in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be yielded, to be surrendered to your word and to your will this evening. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we look at chapter number 2 in the book of John, we see that just after the first miracle, the miracle that the Lord performed in Cana of Galilee, we see the first Passover during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he enters into the temple, of course, the temple, a place that was meant to be a place that glorified the Lord, that brought attention to the Lord's holiness and God's greatness, a place of worship, a place of sanctification, a holy place. As the Lord entered into that place, is that what he found? Yes or no? No, he didn't. The Bible tells us that he found the changers of money sitting. He found those who were doing business in the temple. Now, the business that they were participating in and of itself, wasn't a sinful thing. There were people that traveled from all over the land of Judea, but also foreigners that came to the temple. And in order to worship God, they were to offer sacrifices. Now, if they came from a faraway place and they went on a long journey, obviously it would be too far to bring their sacrifices. So those who sold doves for the poorest to offer as a sacrifice, or a spotless lamb as a sacrifice at the temple, were there in order to help those people who wanted to offer a sacrifice. They were there to help them to purchase an animal to offer to the Lord. The problem was, as the Lord entered in, he found that the house of God had become a place of merchandise. They were what you would call doing business in the house of God. They were selling these sacrifices at a higher price. So those who came from a long distance, can you imagine, they had no other choice but to buy what they were offering. And no matter what price it was at, well, they had come all that way, so therefore they were forced to pay the price. And that offended the Lord greatly, of course, because they were making a profit. Can you put yourself in the picture? They were making a profit over the place of worship. They were making a profit and doing business in the house of God. And obviously the Lord would not stand for that, because this was his house. This was a place that ought to have honored the Lord. And they had turned that place of worship into a corrupt religious market. That's why the Lord was filled with zeal and righteous anger, and he was so grieved. He put together a scourge, a whip of small cords, and not only did he drive out the animals, but he drove out the money changers as well. He tipped over the tables. He tipped out their money, and the Lord did so in righteous anger. Now, those who don't believe in God like to use these verses to criticize Jesus Christ and to say, look, you say he's sinless, but he was angry. Well, the Bible tells us that God can be angry. He doesn't reflect anger in a sinful and selfish way. He does so in his complete holiness and righteousness. And that's what took place here at the temple. Now, you and I, as we look at these verses, find it a frightening thought what it would have been like to be there, to see the Lord's righteous anger revealed, and to see the despicable selling and corruption that was taking place in the temple. But for us as Christians, there's an interesting lesson to be learned in these verses regarding the Lord's will in our lives also. Notice 1 Corinthians. We'll be back here in the book of John. But if you turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians this evening, notice the application for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now remember, the Lord is zealous about that which is His. That's why He was rightly able to cleanse the temple, because the temple was His as God. Notice verse number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 15. The Bible says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" There in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I think I said verse 19, didn't I? All right, that's a good verse too. Verse 15. Notice verse 19. The Bible says, what? As if we often forget, and we do. Know ye not that your body is the, say it? Temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. So you see, in the Old Testament, the physical building of the temple was the place where God chose to show the reality of His presence, the place that God would dwell with His people in the tabernacle, in the temple of God. And in the New Testament, the Bible tells us very clearly, for those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, what is the temple of God? It is our bodies. That's right. God dwelling within us. The Holy Spirit that dwells within every believer, the Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And just like the Old Testament temple was a place of praise and worship, likewise, God expects of us, our lives, to be lives that reflect and honor the glory of God. Isn't that right? Amen. To reflect the holiness of God, to reflect the purity and the glory of God. And tonight we're going to look at these verses back in the book of John chapter 2, if you'll turn back there with me, and we're going to apply the Lord's action in the temple to our lives as Christians. It's an interesting thought, but don't forget, the Lord is zealous over you as a believer. The Lord is zealous over me, and the Lord doesn't want us to be left as we are. And thank God, when He finds us and saves us, He doesn't leave us as we are. Amen. And God's work in our lives, part of the life of faith, is that the Lord desires us to be a clean vessel. A vessel unto honor and not unto dishonor. So tonight we are looking at the cleansing of the temple. Some lessons we can learn from this account of what Christ did and what took place that applies to your life and mine as Christians. All right, are we ready to go tonight?
Yep.
Okay, the first point this evening, notice very simply that Christ entered into the temple. Christ entered in. There in verse 13, the Bible tells us that Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And in verse 14, the Bible tells us that He entered into the temple. He entered in without any hesitation. He entered in without any concern. And why did the Lord have the authority to do what he did, especially to those who made merchandise of the house of God? Well, that was the Jews' question, wasn't it? They said to him, notice in verse number 18, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? They basically confronted the Lord. They said, what right do you have to come in here and create such a ruckus? Who do you think you are? And the Lord quickly pointed them to a supernatural truth in verse 19. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days will I raise it up. Now, they were very confused, of course, because the Lord wasn't talking about the physical temple that he was in. He was talking about, in verse 21, the temple of his body. What gave Christ the authority to come into the temple and to claim it as his own and to act as if it is his own? Well, what gave him that authority and that right? The fact that he is the living Messiah. He declared the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. He would die, and 3 days later, he would rise again from the dead. And the reason why Christ had the authority to enter into the temple and to do exactly as he pleased, because he is the Son of God. Because he is God in the flesh. He had the power to do so as he pleased, because he is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord. And remember, the disciples, when they heard these things, they remembered them after he rose again from the dead. And they believed the word of God, and they knew that Christ is the Messiah. Now the question is, as we begin to look at these verses, Christ had the right to enter into the temple. Because as the Messiah, as God in the flesh come down to this earth to die on the cross for your sins and mine, the temple being built for God, he being God, had absolute authority to do as he pleases. And as we look at these verses tonight, we need to ask the question, have we allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to enter in to our lives? Has there been a time in your life and mine that we invited Christ to be our personal Savior? The Bible tells us in John chapter number 3, there in your Bibles, we're already in John chapter 2, notice in verse number 3, John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, a religious man, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible says in verse number 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And friend, we need to ask the question this evening of ourselves. Has there been a time that we invited Christ to come into our lives, to be our personal Savior from sin? You see, he's willing to come in and to save us. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He has already died on the cross and purchased the salvation of all mankind. The debt has been paid that we owe to God. There is no reason why anyone should die and go to an eternal place of hellfire, though that is what we all deserve. And in his love, he died for us. In his power and justification, he rose again from the dead, so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here in John chapter 3, the Lord speaks to a religious man and says, you must be born again. There must be a time in your life where Christ entered in, that the Spirit of God indwelt you the moment of your salvation. Friends, when was that time? Has there been a time that you receive Christ as Savior? Friend, Christ has the power to save. The Son of God has already come. And that is the good news of the gospel. He is risen. The Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, he that cometh to me, in no wise will I cast him out. The Lord receives everyone unto himself if we would simply repent and receive his gift of eternal life. Let me ask you this evening, has Christ entered in? Now, if he has, there will be a difference. Let me guarantee you, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You see, the Lord is zealous of his own. And when he saves us from sin, he gets to work in our lives to clean us from sin. No, we are not perfect. Yes, there's much to deal with. But the friends, if we are still the same way that we were when we believed we got saved, that there's a problem. There's a big problem. Many Christians today claim to be Christians, but there is no authority of Christ in their life. They don't allow the Word of God to be the authority in their lives. They don't desire the Lord to cleanse them from sin. They don't desire to be separate from the world, and yet they claim Christ as their Savior. How can that be true? And we need to be sure in our lives that there has been a time where we turn to Christ. Where we invited him not just to be a saviour from our problems, but to be our personal saviour from sin. When was that day, friend, that you received Christ as saviour? When was that moment in time? Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. For being physically born is not enough. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We must have a spiritual rebirth. That describes the time of our salvation. Have you been saved? Has there been a time that you've received Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Thank God he has the authority and the power to cleanse us from our sins. You might be here this evening, you might say, I can't imagine how it's possible that I could simply turn from my sins and call out to Christ, and by trusting in him, he can cleanse my sins whiter than snow. I can't imagine how he could possibly do that. Well, friends, God can do the supernatural. He can do the impossible. He has the authority. He has the right. He paid for our sin debt on the cross. It's simply you and I putting our faith in the Lord to experience his wonderful gift of salvation. You see, Christ entered in to the temple. And that's the beginning, a simple description of his work in your life and mine. But we can't claim to be Christians if he's never entered in, if we've never allowed him. If you're not sure this evening whether you are a Christian, let me encourage you to stay back tonight. Let me encourage you to allow us to show you from the Bible how you can be 100% sure that you are saved and you have a home in heaven. Friend, what are you trusting in for salvation? Some people trust in those who prayed with them at that time. Is that who you're trusting in? Or are you trusting in Christ? Maybe you're trusting in your own good works. Friends, only Jesus can save. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. If we could get to heaven by doing good things, then there was no reason that Christ had to pay on the cross for our sins. Friend, are you trusting in your baptism? Baptism can't save us. No, you see, Christ must enter into our lives at a point in time where we choose by faith to receive him as Savior. I trust there's been a time that Christ has entered in. Now, if you are a Christian this evening, that's when he begins to get to work. Just like as he entered into the temple, he walked in and he was zealous and passionate about that which was his own. Notice secondly in the Bible this morning, John chapter 2 this evening, John chapter 2, notice not only did Christ enter into the temple, but he cast out everything, didn't he, that defiled the temple. Notice verses 15 and 16. The Bible tells us that he drove them all out. Can you see the word all in your Bibles? He didn't leave one of them. He didn't leave a couple of them to continue to make merchandise of the temple. No, he drove out all the money changers. Every single one of them was driven out. Not one of them was left. All the animals were driven out. The Lord completely cleansed the temple. Nothing was allowed to remain. Why did the Lord do that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He is holy. He is sinless. He is righteous and he hates sin. Christ died for sin. He hates sin, and so as he went into the temple, he cleansed it and drove out all that which defiled the temple. And once we are saved, once our bodies become the living temple of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, Christ now zealously goes to work in your life and mine, doesn't he?
Amen.
To help us to change to be more like the Lord. To help us to be cleansed from our iniquities. To change us. To help us to grow to be more like Christ. And Christ desires us not just to be a temple that is defiled, that stays as it is. No, he desires to cleanse us, to sanctify us, to set us apart from sin and be set apart for the use of the Master, for his glory and for his praise. You see, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And friends, tonight's message is an encouragement to allow the Lord to do what he pleases in your life and mine. Amen? Let me ask you this evening, are you allowing the Lord to deal with your life? You know, sometimes he must come in righteous zeal and righteous anger and point out things in your life and mine that are in need of throwing out. Amen? In need of getting rid of and turning from. You see, the Lord loves us, and thank God he doesn't leave us as we are. He desires to go to work in our lives. Notice 1 John chapter number 1. Towards the back of your Bible, there's three short books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Notice the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, in verse 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Amen.
So we need to be careful of going about the Christian life thinking that somehow we are sinless. Somehow we are perfect. We are not. In fact, we sin daily. Though our sins have been paid for and positionally we have a home in heaven and we are in Christ, daily in practice we still sin. And the Bible says if we deny that, then we are lying. We're deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. Notice verse 9. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And friends, there is the picture of the cleansing of the temple. Amen? The Lord desires to cleanse you and I each day from our daily sins, from those sins that have crept in, from those sins of the heart, the sins of bitterness and anger, gossip, evil communication, the sins of things that we see and think on that are not pleasing to God. You see, Christ is at work in your life and mine. He went into the temple. He entered in. And then his desire and goal was to cleanse it for his glory. And he is zealous over you and I tonight, this evening. He desires us to be clean vessels. Now, we can't do that ourselves. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his work, amen? And that's encouraging. He will do the cleansing, but we must allow him to do that. We must say to the Lord, yes, Lord, I have sinned. Friend, when was the last time you confessed your sins? Sometimes we get the wrong idea as Christians. We think, well, I'm saved. That means my eternity is secure, but I don't need to confess anything. In fact, it's not such a big deal. Can you see that the corruption in the temple was a big deal to the Lord? I mean, that's an understatement. And friends, sin in your life and mine is a big deal to God. It is despicable to God. And God desires us to be clean, cleansed, be sensitive to the Spirit of God. In John chapter 2, his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." Friends, it's our sins that nailed the Son of God to the cross. So we ought to, like the Lord, hate sin just as much. Part of the Christian life ought to be you and I growing in our hatred for sin. Righteous hatred for sin. You might be here this evening, you might use different passages in Scripture to excuse your anger. Well, that's not spiritual. Well, what about your anger towards sin? That is spiritual. What about your anger in dealing with sin in your life? Do you tolerate sin and you allow it to stay and you allow your body to be a place of sin and merchandise that displeases the Lord? Or do you allow the Lord to work in your life to cleanse you. As you can see, the Lord, as he entered into the temple, had zero tolerance, didn't he?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that is the attitude of the heart we ought to have. Zero tolerance. Not to say we become perfect, but that we don't leave any stone unturned. Amen? We stay sensitive to God. We allow him to deal with those issues that we find difficult to handle. We give those to him. We say, Lord, only you can do the impossible, but Lord, I'm surrendered to you. Friend, how clean is your temple? How clean is my temple? See, we not only need Christ for salvation, but we need him every day, don't we? For daily cleansing from sin. But he needs to have full control of our lives. Now, let's be honest. Tonight, in your life and mine, there are rooms with keys to doors that remain locked at this present that we have not surrendered to God. Things that we have not confessed. Things that are left undealt with. And the Lord desires to have access to those areas. Amen? And in the Holy Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, God shows us what those areas are. The question is, does the Lord have access? If you are a Christian and you are saved, are you surrendered to the Lord and said, Lord, please change me. Lord, I want to change. I want to grow. Lord, I am yours. Remember, when Christ saved us, he didn't just purchase a room in the house, did he? Or a couple of rooms in your life. No, he purchased the whole house. Amen? He owns us. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 reminds us that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. If he purchased us by his blood, we are his. We are his. He owns us. We are bought with a price. Verse 20 tells us, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, Christ cast out everything that defiled the temple. And that ought to be our heart's desire each day. Just like the psalmist David of old prayed, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. There's the surrender. That's the heart we ought to have. See if there be any wicked thing in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Lead me in the right paths, Lord. Search my heart. Christian, when was the last time you asked the Lord to search your heart? For those habitual sins that have remained there, maybe for a long time, left undealt with, left unchecked. You see, if our temple is defiled, then that distances us from God. We can't be close to him. Our lives can't bring glory and honor to the Lord as they ought to. But thank God, wouldn't you agree? He continues to work in our lives. Thank God he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Thank God when he enters into our lives, he's there. And he desires to work. Friend, allow the Lord to cleanse you. We need to be surrendered. And if we are, Christ will continue to change us and to cleanse us. We need to have the heart of the Lord as he entered into the temple back in John chapter 2. Notice thirdly, not only did the Lord enter into the temple and cast out everything that defiled, notice thirdly, Christ rebuked those who defiled the temple. Verse 16. He didn't just drive them out, but he spoke to them, didn't he? Verse 16. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. You see, the lowest, most filthy and corrupt act that was taking place was that those that sold doves were making a profit from selling these animals. Why is that? Because remember, those who couldn't afford to buy a lamb to offer as a sacrifice, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, if they were poor, they could purchase a lowly dove. And that stood in the place of a lamb because they couldn't afford to. You see, the Lord opened up the doors of his temple for all to come, for all to approach through sacrifice. And what the money changers were doing was saying, well, if you want to offer a sacrifice, then give me some money. And they hiked up the price so even the poorest struggled to afford to buy a lowly dove. And the Lord, in his zealous and righteous anger, rebuked them. And he told them to leave. Take these things hence, and make not my father's house an house of merchandise. He rebuked those who defiled the temple. And Christ took action and said to them in no less words, no more. That's it. That's enough. You have defiled my temple for too long. And as Christians, we need to see the zealousness of the Lord and have the same attitude to sin in our life. Amen. When we find sin knocking at the door, wanting to enter in by what we might see or glimpse at, by different thoughts that take place during the day, or perhaps the actions of others around us seeking to compromise our Christian lives, we need to learn, like the Lord of all, to say no to sin. We need to learn to say no, to rebuke sin in our lives, to not allow it to come in. Christ rebuked what was taking place, those who defiled the temple. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, the Bible tells us, notice in verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that we will be tempted. We will be tested. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Notice what the Bible says in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What a wonderful promise of God. Friends, we live in a corrupt world. We still have a sinful nature, but thank God for the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in our lives. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when sin comes knocking at the door, the Bible says that God will not allow us to be tempted above the ability He gives us to say no to sin. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful promise that you and I will never be tempted above the ability that He gives us to say no, to turn away? Men, when you walk into a petrol station to pay for some petrol, you don't need to look at those filthy magazines that they set right in front of your eyes. Amen? And if you catch a glimpse, you can say no and look away. You see, sin comes knocking at the door. Sin wants to defile your temple and mine. But thank God and the power of God, we can say no. We can rebuke the sin. And by the way, if you're bold enough, you might like to tell the people at the petrol station, I don't appreciate this filth being right there in front of my eyes. Why don't you put it at the back of the shop so the rest of the perverts can check it out in their own time. Amen? That wicked filth. But men, we can choose to say no. We can choose to look away. Ladies, you can choose to cast down those thoughts of bitterness and anger. You know, when those thoughts come up and you're completely consumed with evil thoughts, and as men also, as we're completely consumed with wrong thinking, the Bible tells us we can cast down those imaginations. We can use the Word of God and quote the Word of God to cut down those thoughts before they take root as sin in our lives. You see, we need to be passionate about the temple of God.
Amen.
Why? Because we are not our own as Christians. You see, the Lord is as zealous over your life as He was this day that He walked into the temple and claimed it as His own, and cast out everything that defiled, and rebuked those who made merchandise of that which is His possession. Let me encourage you that if you have a heart to live a life as clean as it can be before the Lord, God will do the rebuking. Amen. He will, in His power, cast down those imaginations. He will enable you to say no to sin. That's His promise in the Word of God, is it not? That's His promise. No temptation is too much for the Christian. The point, when you get to that point and say, look, it's too much, I can't say no, friends, you believe the lie of the devil. You believe the lie of your sinful flesh. God says it's not possible, that there's a temptation that's too great. You can say no in the power of God. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Friend, are you resting in the faithfulness of God? See, in all our lives, He's at work to help us to grow, to help us to change. And there is a purpose for that, isn't it? God wants our lives to bring Him, just like the temple of the Old Testament, God wants our lives to bring Him glory, to bring Him honor, to be a house of praise, amen? A house of worship, a place of witness. Now, there back in John chapter number 2, before we get to the last point, you know, one of the greatest tragedies was that this corruption was taking place in a very specific place. This religious market, as you study the times and what was taking place, different areas of the temple, this religious market was set up in the court of the Gentiles. Now, those of you who have studied a little bit about the temple will know that that place, the court of the Gentiles, was the place where those who were interested in God, were seeking God, but were not Jews, that was the place that they could come. That was the place that they could enter in. We could say those who feared God, like the Ethiopian eunuch of old, that was the place that he would have come to, and he would have stopped at. And there in that place, would you agree, that should have been the greatest witness to an unbelieving world of a God who has offered forgiveness through sacrifice, the place that should have shone brighter than anywhere else was the place of greatest corruption, the place of greatest defilement. That's why Christ was so zealous over His house, over the temple, because not only should it have brought glory and honor to God, but it should have been a witness to the known world. And imagine a Gentile walking into that place and seeing, wow, so this is the religion of the Jews. This is what they really believe. They don't believe in God. They are not holy. They are not any different than us. They're just trying to make a profit. Imagine them turning around and heading back to where they came from. What a shocking witness and testimony to the world. And friends, what a reminder to you and I. As we understand the biblical truth that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, we can't afford to let sin stay in our lives, undealt with. Why? Because we need to, as we've just sung tonight, we need to have a witness that is bright and clear. And the only way that you and I can do that is to separate from sin. Allow the Lord to cleanse us each day. Allow Him to change us throughout our lives. You see, if the world looks into your life and mine, what will they see? What will they see? Will they look into your life and say, well, you know, now that I've seen what's there, I don't know if I really want the God that you have. If you and I look like the world, if we smell like the world, if we speak like the world, and we participate in the wickedness of the world, friends, they won't want what we have. They won't want God. We can't reflect the glory of God. That's why we need to be cleansed. Amen? Because of the witness of Christ. Jesus said, ye are My ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. Amen? We are the children of God. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. As we say to our kids, we kind of make it simple as possible. You are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Well, it makes something better. Amen? Are we affecting this world for good? Or are we participating in the evil? Salt makes something better. What about light? Light shines in the darkness. We live in a dark world. Are we shining for the Lord? Are we shining brightly? Or are we spreading more darkness? That ought to convict us as Christians and stand back and say, wow, the Lord, I can't afford just to stay as I am. I need to allow the Lord to change me. I need to allow Him to not only enter in for salvation, but I need to give Him the keys to those doors that remain locked. Those sins that I'm allowing and even excusing. Oh, look, I can watch what I want on TV. Doesn't affect me. Amen. Friend, that's a door that still remains locked. Yep. That you haven't allowed Christ to access, to enter in and cleanse and even remove for His glory. And it's those sins of the heart, the sins in our lives, the private sins that need to be surrendered to the Lord. We can do it in His power. Yep. He wants to cleanse you and I daily. He wants to have access. Friend, are you a witness? Do you have a witness that is bright and clear? When people look at your life and mine, They're not looking for perfection, but do they see a difference? Do they see the reality of God? That He has done such a work in your life that you are not one what you once were. Amen? Do they see that difference? Well, if He's entered in, they ought to see that difference. And the more you and I grow, the more brightly we will shine. Amen? Lastly, in the Word of God, back in John chapter 2, it's interesting to note that Christ returned to cleanse the temple. Notice there in John chapter 2, we've read the account. The first time He entered into the temple, He described it as a house of merchandise. That's in John chapter 2. Come to the book of Matthew, another account of Christ's earthly ministry. Notice Matthew 21. At the end of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21, notice verse 13. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 13. The Bible tells us of the second time the Lord entered into the temple. It wasn't just one time. He came back again. Notice verse number 13. And He said unto them, "It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." You see, again, the merchandisers came in. Again, the house of God was corrupted. And if we take that picture as well back into our lives, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, notice what the Lord's proclamation is, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." You see, the temple of God was meant to be a place of fellowship with God, where God's people could come and pray, where God's people could have communion with God through sacrifice, where God's people could fellowship with God. And that's what He ultimately desires from you and I. He desires the closeness of a sweet relationship with Him. He desires us to be able to come to Him in prayer and to know Him personally. Friends, we are not just religious as Christians. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we allow Him to cleanse our temple and to make us more holy in His perfect power and wisdom, we can enjoy that intimate, sweet fellowship with God. We can know that our prayers will not be hindered by sin. You know, sin stops our prayers from being heard. But a Christian who's sensitive to sin, a Christian who allows Christ to have His way in their lives, is a Christian that enjoys fellowship with God, a relationship with God. God speaks to them in His Word, and we speak back to God in prayer and enjoy that conversation with the Lord. See, that's the blessing. That's His purpose for your life and mine. And as we grow to be more sensitive to sin, we will enjoy a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. My house shall be called the house of prayer. The Lord said to His disciples, "When thou prayest, pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Prayer, a relationship with God. As we close this evening, how is your relationship with God going? Are you close to the Lord, or are you at a distance? Has there been a time that Christ has entered in? Perhaps tonight you need to make a choice to turn from your sins once and for all and turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to be your Savior. And when you do, friends, He will enter in. As a Christian, maybe there's some decisions you need to make to give areas of your life to God. As difficult as they may be, as much as you and I might be holding on to them, let Him have your way. To what end? That we may know Him. That we may enjoy the closeness of God. A supernatural relationship with Jesus Christ. And then be a glowing and shining witness for the Lord. Amen. Let's allow Him to cleanse the temple this evening. Psalm 93 and verse 5 says, "Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord. Be ye holy, the Lord said, for I am holy."